The kids are awesome. So, so good. Guys, I love Christmas. I love the story. I love the presents and the food and the smells. I love seeing so many men wearing bright red shirts. It's awesome. Somebody this morning, it was borderline fuchsia and pink, and I got a chance to make fun of them for that. But man, it is just, it's a fun, fun season of life. And we get a chance to see the Christmas story displayed for us like it was today. And there are two responses that I believe that we take away from something like what we just saw. If you've got your Bibles, let me show you. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to see the story of Christmas unfold in Scripture, just as we got to see up here on stage with our kids. What's interesting is leading up to this moment in Luke chapter 2 is Jesus, and Jesus is going to be born to Joseph and to Mary. The angel has appeared. He has told them what is coming. And what's interesting is how the rest of the story unfolds. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says this. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Scripture goes on to say, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. Isn't it amazing here as we see the story unfold of what happens here? You see, there are two responses that you and I have to the Christmas story. The first response is this: to believe that God has come. We see here in the text the group of people, the audience that the angels show up to. They show up and reveal themselves to, verse 8, shepherds. Shepherds. This is the lowest of the low. The shepherds were stinky. They were social outcasts. They were people that were not even allowed to testify in court because they were considered liars. This is a motley crew that the social culture was unwilling to accept these men into their lives. According to church history, the shepherds were so low that only the lepers were a stage below them when it comes to social structure. But isn't it interesting that the moment that God is going to reveal that he has sent forth his son, he is going to announce it to shepherds, the people who are forgotten, the most humble people who have no money, no social class, no status, nothing to boast in. These are outcasts, but God says that's exactly who I'm going to reveal myself to. But then the angels make an appearance. Verse 9, you see an angel of the Lord appear. It says the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. This glory is a light. It is bright, but it's also the weight of the presence of God. And what's interesting is that when you see an angel show up in Scripture, people usually wet their pants. These shepherds hit their faces. They were filled with fear. The King James says they were sore afraid. This is what's happening here. The angel shows up and has a word from God. You see, angels are not babies in diapers who play harps. Angels are messengers from God, and when they show up, people recognize it. And what's interesting here is he reveals himself as an angel, and he brings good news. As these shepherds are filled with fear, okay, the tone is they're in almost the point of dying. They're so scared. The angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." This is what God offers to us at Christmas. That word for good news is the same word we get the word for gospel. God is saying, I have a gospel, I have a good news that I want to bring to you, and it's going to bring you great joy. And who's it for? The text says it's for all the people. This is good news for me and you, is that the gospel is not just for a certain group of people. The gospel is not just for people who live in a certain area of the world. It's not just for certain people with a certain kind of skin color or language. The gospel is for all the people. This morning, I want you to know that you have an invitation from God to be invited. You are included into his family through faith in his son, Jesus. And here an angel comes to these shepherds and says, "Don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news of great joy, and it's going to be for all the people." And here's the miracle. Here's the celebration. Are you ready? It's a baby. Look at the text. He says there in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This is such a big deal, y'all. He says he's a baby in the city of David. He is the Savior. Savior, another word, deliverer. He's going to save people from their sins. He's Christ, which means he's the anointed one. He is the one the entire Old Testament is pointing forward to. He is Lord. He is Yahweh. He is God come in the flesh. And as Savior, Christ, and Lord, he is the one that the scriptures are pointing us to who is going to reverse the curse of Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they sinned against God, and it brought separation between God and man. And the entire Old Testament is a promise that a Savior is coming. He's coming. Be looking for him. And here's when he's coming. Here's what he's been looking for. Here's the situations around him. And then all of a sudden, he's here. And watch what happens. Look at verse 13. "And suddenly, there was with the angel," watch this, "a multitude of the heavenly host." Okay, that multitude means it's so many angels, you can't count them. It's uncountable. Okay, so here are the shepherds watching their sheep like they do every night. An angel of the Lord appears to them. The glory of the Lord is around them. They're filled with fear. They hit their face and thinking they're about to die. An angel says, "Don't be afraid. I've got good news for you, a great joy, because born this day in the city of David is a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And then suddenly, boom, spike the football. Big moment, celebration. The king is here, and some commentators say that all of heaven emptied out of all the angels and showed up for this moment. This is the climax. This is the apex. The entire Old Testament is looking for a Savior, and here the scripture says he's here. He has shown up. So you must believe. Believe upon this Savior who has come. And this heavenly host, this heavenly choir is belting out praise to God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased." If you're here this morning, I want you to know that God is inviting you to believe that he has come. And he has shown up in a manger. But the second response that you and I have is not just to believe, but it's to go and tell. Look at the response of the shepherds. Verse 15 says, "When the angels went away from them back up into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go.'" Oh, I love that. Hey, guys, let's go. It's kind of like you figure out who the leader in the group is whenever they say the word "let's." Okay? So, hey, guys, let's go. Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went, verse 16, with haste. This is urgency. This is a pace. This is a hurry up. Hey, guys, let's go. Let's go see what God has done. He's here. Let's go see it. And so these shepherds leave their sheep, and they make a beeline to Bethlehem. And when they get to this small town, 6 miles south of Jerusalem, they are looking, they are searching for a baby in a manger. And when they find the baby, watch what happens. Verse 17. They made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They open their mouths. They tell the story. They go and tell what Christ has done. God is here. And when they begin to tell the story about, hey, Mary and Joseph, you're not going to believe this. We're out in our field watching our sheep, and an angel of the Lord appears, and he tells us, don't be afraid, even though we were wanting to die. And he says, I got good news of great joy for you, for unto you on this day is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And he's driving us and pointing us here. And so we came, and here he is. Watch what Mary's response is. Verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. As a mom, she sees her newborn child, of which she's already had the angel appear to her and tell her she's going to be a mom, even though she had never been with the man, even though she wasn't even married to Joseph yet. Here she is, a mom of a brand new baby, probably a teenager. And these shepherds show up and begin telling her, this is the promised one. This is the Messiah. He is Savior, he is Lord, and he is Christ. And she's hiding these things in her heart because we're going to see later in Luke chapter 2 is that there becomes a prophecy towards Mary. And the Lord tells her, you're going to have a sword that's going to pierce your soul. What's he talking about? You're going to see your son crucified on a cross. And so here is Mary pondering these truths because it's preparing her for what is to come. And these shepherds, they're changed forever. Look at verse 20. It says, they returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They were changed. From this point forward, they were never going to be the same. They now lived lives that were sent. They could not wait to go and to tell. These were men who gave God the glory because he revealed himself to them in the person and work of his son. But you know what's interesting? This is not the last time that Luke records for us the presence of angels. I want you to fast forward with me about 33 years to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. It's the last chapter of the gospel. And leading up to this point, this baby who was born in a manger grows up. He lives a perfect sinless life that you and I could not live. And he begins his ministry, teaching and preaching, healing, raising the dead, investing in his disciples. He becomes a man on a mission, and his mission is ultimately to go to the cross. The scripture says that he dies on the cross and he is buried. Well, in the meanwhile, when he's on the cross, the men he invested the most amount of time into scatter. John is the only disciple at the cross. Judas has already committed suicide, and the other 10 are hiding. And yet, at the cross are a bunch of women who are a lot like the shepherds. They don't have a lot of social credibility. See, women back in the day did not have the status or the equality that women have today. They weren't even allowed to go into the temple for worship. Yet Jesus, as he's on the cross, has women that he had poured his life into. They're witnessing his death. Well, after his death, they take his body and they put him into a tomb. They follow him. They see where he is laid. And then they go home. 3 days pass, and the time has come for them to bring forth ointments and oils and potions to prepare Jesus' body for burial. Watch what happens in verse 3 of Luke 24. But when they went into the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. Okay, angels are in the tomb. Typical response, verse 5. They were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Notice here, here comes the message. He is not here. He is risen. You see, Christmas and Easter hold hands. They go together, kind of like peanut butter and jelly. They go together. And here is angels showing up to the women saying, "He's not here. He is risen." He is. These angels are giving a message of hope. They're giving the message of the gospel. And these women believe. And notice that once they believe, watch what they do. Verse 10. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. You see, the 11 are now gathered in an upper room. They're hiding for their lives. The revolutionary named Jesus, the man that they had spent their lives following and committing themselves to, was now dead, and they're terrified. They're afraid. They're in hiding. And Jesus rises from the dead, and the angels meet with these women and say, "He's not here because he's not dead." The women are transformed. They believe, and watch their response. They go and tell, verse 10. They told the apostles these things. But think about it. Here are the apostles in hiding, and these women show up, and they're like, "Y'all, he's alive. He did what he said he was going to do. I mean, we had these angels, and they appeared to us, and they told us, hey, he's not here. He's risen." But did the apostles believe? Verse 11, "But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. All except for one." Verse 12, "But Peter rose and ran to the tomb." He made haste. There was urgency. He wanted to get there quickly. That word for ran, it means to have an athletic sprint. He is making a beeline to the tomb. You see, the Christmas story and the resurrection story mirror each other, because both are pointing to the Savior. Both are pointing to the Messiah who came and appeared to the most unlikely of people, shepherds, women. And we see where God shows up, and through his miraculous work, the birth of a virgin, resurrection from the dead, everything changes upon these two moments that go together. Both of these moments are pointing us to cloths that are lying in a manger, lying in an empty tomb. And here we see evangelism. People who meet the risen Christ, and they are changed forever. Peter gets to the tomb, stooping and looking inside. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Just as the shepherds went back marveling at what God had done, here's Peter, blown away by what God has done. Maybe you're here today and you have yet to put your faith in Jesus. Christmas is not just a story to make you feel good in the month of December. Christmas is the entrance of God coming to the world to save you from your sin. And that is the good news of the gospel. That is the good news of great joy, that you and I can be forgiven of our sins, That's what Jesus came to do. He was born in a manger, lived that perfect life that we couldn't live. He died the death that you and I deserved. And he was risen on the third day so that those who turn away from their sin and trust in him for salvation, he will come into us and he gives us great joy that lasts for all of eternity. This is what God provides for you in the Christmas season. If you're here today and you have not put your faith in Jesus, this morning, come to Christ. Put your faith and trust in him. Christmas is driving you to Jesus, God's Son, who did everything necessary to bring you into the kingdom. You see, the gospel is not about what you can do for God. It's about what God has done for you in Jesus. And God has done everything necessary through the death and resurrection of Jesus. This morning, believe that God has come. Maybe you're here this morning and you've already put your faith in Jesus. What's the next step that we need to make? It's to go and tell. Just like the shepherds, just like the women who couldn't wait to go and tell the world about what they had experienced. Maybe you're here today and there are people in your life who are not having a Merry Christmas because they do not have the Christ of Christmas. God has strategically placed you in your family, in your neighborhood, in your office, in your school, so that you can show the world what Jesus is like. We live lives that are sent, just like the women. Just like the shepherds, we get to go and tell what God has done. And God has put people in your life who need light. They need love. They need the Christ of Christmas. And if you, and if I, and if the world around us would look to him, we're going to find that in Jesus, there's good news. Of great joy. That's for all the people.